Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Prashna Upanishads, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
From the ashram of our revered Guru, Pujya Atman, Sri Swami Jyotirmananji in Miami, Florida. Swamiji will lecture on Prashna Upanishad. This is series 2013, class number 13. And now, Pujya Atman, Sri Swami Jyotirmananji.
Om Bhadram Karane Bhishnu Yama Deva Bhadram Pashyemak Virya Jatra Sirai Rangai Tushtu Vagam Sastanu Vivyashema Devahitam Yadayuhu Swastina Indro Vriddhashrava Swastina Purusha Vishwaveda Swastina Starkshyo Arishtanemi Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. This is the peace chant of Prashna Upanishad. O gods, gods. Each time we hear gods, that doesn't mean so many gods. They simply mean God with different aspects. So from tomorrow we can start saying, O sons, we who invoke God, may we hear what is auspicious with our ears. May we see what is auspicious with our eyes. May we offer our praise with our bodies, strong of limbs, and thus enjoy life for pleasing God. There are several points that you are always being reminded. Remember the three monkeys and the message they gave. Mahatma Gandhi loved them. One monkey has eyes closed, another ears, another mouth. May we hear what's auspicious. Simple, simply said, but there's so many implications. Hearing process is not forced on you. Only when you are willing to hear, we allow those words to get into your brain. Otherwise, you shut them out. Similarly, what you see is not forced upon you. You are the one responsible of choosing what you want to see. And again, what you speak is entirely dependent upon you. And if these three things can be kept in order day by day from a profound point of view, start your day with that attitude and prayer that let the day bring to me things that go deep into the heart, the whispers that awaken the soul. Soul has been sleeping and the soul has to be awakened. It's all allegorical. And you want to hear those words that can enable the soul to wake up. So may the world give you those types of words in your ears. As you live through your life, you must understand you can create situations where verbal communication can be gentler, more understanding, warming to the heart, or you can make it so pungent, repugnant, disgusting. And it is the potentiality of every soul can create day by day. But discovering your freedom and how much you can control your hearing, your speaking, your seeing, that process of control contains within it the subtle point of your spiritual evolution. And all this is not dependent upon history or circumstances. They are not imposed upon you. You have to learn the art. I will just not go too much in detail. This is the peace chant. May we offer our praise with the bodies, strong of limbs. You can take it literally. You have to have a healthy body to possess a healthy mind. But from a spiritual point of view, bodies refer to your physical body, your pranic body, pranas, mind, senses, intellect, ego, they're all different aspects of body of the soul. May the Indra, with all pervasive fame, bestow on us prosperity, the different aspects of God. May Purusha, the knower of the universe, the nourisher, bring auspiciousness. May Garuda of swift motion, with like a discus to destroy all troubles, may Brihaspati, lord of the intellect, bestow on us auspiciousness. Presently in Prashna Upanishad, fourth Prashna, fourth question, the different disciples and each present their question and the Guru answers. Those questions and answers go to form the Upanishad. You have been given before subtle insight into prana, vital forces, insight into chakras of Kundalini, and insight into how controlling pranas can gradually lead you to the highest goal. The sequence, spiritual sadhana begins with very small activity that goes on in your life. And the smallest activity is breathing. That's the only way you can know that somebody is alive. The breath becomes your basis, the starting point. Controlling the breath, harmonizing it, that becomes the pranayama process. This breath links it to prana. It gives you a subtle secret of how to draw universal energy to your advantage. And that has its effect on your body, on your mind, on your understanding. So, breath relates to prana. Prana links itself to mind. Mind links itself to intellect. Intellect relates itself to the absolute self, God. So you begin to ascend. And all this, these points, they are blended together in your spiritual movement. Sometimes you have to give attention to your prana. Sometimes attention to your physical body and its needs. Sometimes to your sentiments, sometimes to the practical details of life. All that must go on day by day. And yet, the highlight to realize the source, the highlight is beyond your intellect. Aham Brahmas, the revelation of I am. Fourth question, mantra number one. Atahainam sauryayana gargyah parpaccha bhagvat neta smin puruṣe kāni svapanti kyāni asmin jagrati katara esha deva svapnān paśyati, and so forth. Then Sauryayani from the family of sage Garga asks sage Pippalada, O Bhagavān, which gods go to sleep in this physical body? Or remember the gods. They are all different expressions of the same source. Here it relates to the presiding deities of senses, mind. So which gods imply? Look at your body. You have body. You have the pranic functions. You have mind and its sentiments. And you have your intellect, your thinking process. All these are awake when you are awake. But when you go to sleep, which one is awake? Your senses are not functioning. Your mind is not thinking, etc. Your organs of action are not in effect. Everything is absent, except pranas, the vital forces. So when you see a person sleeping, everything about the person is calm and quiet, not the nose. Breathing continues, That means prana is operating. Prana is doing all its functions. Your blood circulation goes on, your heart goes on beating. Recharging process goes on for your body, for your nervous system. Your unconscious is new filing system starts in your unconscious. Tremendous activity is going on. Prana is fully awake. Who experiences the joy of sleep? Your body is not, you don't have body awareness. You can't say body experiences it. The senses don't experience it. Mind doesn't experience it. Ego doesn't experience it because ego is not there. As long as ego is there, you have not gone to sleep. Therefore, normally when a few people have gone to sleep and someone, a guardian who is concerned for their sleep, goes on asking, are you sleeping? The clever child says, oh yes, I have a deep sleep. I'm making a joke, but I really understand. As long as you are aware on the basis of ego, you are not sleeping. When ego slips away, then you have gone into deep sleep. Therefore, you never know exactly at what point you have gone to deep sleep. Because ego slips away. Ego is like the shoes. You are going to the sacred shrine. You have taken the shoes up to the closest to the shrine. But the moment you enter there, the shoes have to be out. The moment you enter into deep sleep, your ego is out. Therefore, the question, who enjoys your deep sleep? If that question were to be pondered over, that becomes now a philosophical question. First thing you know, that the best type of happiness comes to you day by day. When you are in deep sleep, it's the best type of happiness. And I have elaborated it before, that if you awaken a person from deep sleep and give to the person that you have brought from some wonderful shop the best delicacy that you ever tasted and present it right in front, person waking up from sleep looks at it with disgust. Whatever a joy was much greater. Rudely you have been awakened from an experience far greater than that food before you. However, human intellect doesn't go after it to understand that if the incomparable type of joy can be experienced without the body, without the mind, without the intellect, without the senses, then all the problems of life should be resolved, because happiness, that is what you want. And you don't have to go through all these details of body, mind, intellect. And also, all the happenings of the world cannot take you away from yourself, because in deep sleep you are there. If you say, oh no, I'm not there at all, that's philosophically and rationally, absolutely wrong. In the next mantra, the Guru starts giving the insight into three states of consciousness: waking, dream, deep sleep. The purpose of this is to show that all your experiences through your mind and senses, all your experiences are a form of dream, a form of illusion. And your goal is not to stay with those experiences. Your goal is to discover, I am the self, I am this spirit, the soul. I am that, am I. O Gargya, the rays become united with the sun at the time of sunset, just like the sun withdraws its rays and sets. In the same way, human mind withdraws all its rays, all its thought process, and slips into the heart. There's more details have been given by sages. A special nadi, mystical channel becomes effective, and the soul operates through that subtle nadi and enters into the heart. But the simple allegorical description, just like the sun has withdrawn its rays, your mind has withdrawn all its concern for past, present, future, all its thought process. And just as the sun will rise again, in the same way, you will rise again. Having withdrawn the rays, the mind has slipped into the heart. Mind will arise again, and with health, will operate through its thought waves. When you enter into deep sleep, the world of past, present, and future all have been transcended. After deep sleep, when you wake up, for a few moments, the mind has to figure out where you are, what are you. Within moments, it clicks that I am this personality. Yesterday, I didn't pay my debts. Today, I have to pay them. Sometimes, something else happens. Instead of waking up from sleep, you enter into dream. And you pay your debts in your dream. If you are a student, preparing for examination, you find yourself already. You have did your examination work, and you have secured the highest mark, A, and whatever you think of. Only when you wake up, you realize that was illusion. Gaining insight into waking, dream, deep sleep, the profound insight, that's the highlight of Vedantic philosophy. None of the three states is real, but deep sleep state brings you closest to the reality. Now, to understand that point, suppose you have a bottle or a plastic bag of water, but water that is not pure. But the bag is sealed, and you place the whole bag into the Ganges. The water in the bag and water in the Ganges, they commune, and there is a sense of great mystical joy. But when you bring the bag out of the Ganges, it remains the same. It has its viruses, it has its impurities, as before. In sleep, you are entering into the divine self, but with the seal of ego. Ego has sealed your inner feeling, your inner awareness. Your awareness is not completely open to the divine self. But while in sleep, what becomes highlighted is attunement with Brahman within you. During sleep, your body, mind, intellect, all is recharged. When you wake up, you come back to the same ego. From this, what you understand, samadhi is very similar movement. Samadhi is that ideal type of sleep where you withdraw the senses into the mind, intellect, all withdrawn into the purified chitta. In samadhi, when you have withdrawn, the seal is breaking. Ego that holds on to all your impurities, that ego is now having a leak. It becomes a sattvic ego. So therefore, when you emerge out of samadhi, you are refreshed, but in a totally different way. There is a new type of insight enters into you that your mind cannot understand. But for majority of people, sleep brings them closest to samadhi. And if you have lived your life well, your sleep can become a gateway to spiritual advancement. The first goal is to have enjoyable sleep, restful sleep, day by day. Ignoring sleep or looking down upon sleep, that means it's a great act of ignorance. So while that's a practical reality for an aspirant, how to sleep better, more profound, but then it's opening the door to how to enter into meditation, more profound, how to enter into samadhi. Samadhi experience, you come back from samadhi not with the same ego. Ego is being diminished again and again, and so you are not thrown into the Ganges with it like a sealed bag, but the seal is leaking. And there comes a time you can't be taken out of the Ganges. Then you have attained Sahaja Samadhi. But until then, go on dipping into that sleep. And next step, go on dipping into practice of meditation, practice of disciplinary samadhi. In between, all the four yogas are involved. Integral yoga will allow you to enter into samadhi state, where your ego will dissolve permanently. Again, dissolving of the ego should not be taken literally. I've explained that before. Ego has three modes of nature. Rajasic tamasic ego is the ego that doesn't allow you to be in tune with God. But when your ego becomes sattvic, ego that becomes deeply interested in understanding who am I, what is the absolute reality of me, that ego becomes a transparent support, and that ego emerges out of samadhi, and it doesn't keep the impurity of the mind sealed. Mantra 5. This God, mind associated with the soul, experiences its greatness. He sees what was experienced before as well as what was not experienced. This relates to the dream world. In dream, nothing physical is involved. Your mind displays all things of your dream, and your soul experiences its greatness. Entire world can arise out of your consciousness. When the mind is overpowered by Udana, then that God doesn't see any dream. At that time, even within this body, he experiences bliss. We have explained the functions of prana, different aspects of vital energy. Udana becomes effective when your mind is entering into samadhi, or when your mind is entering into dream, or your mind is preparing for the soul to enter into another body. All these intricate things, you don't have to go too much after. O beloved disciple, just as birds return to the nest wherein they abide, in the same way, all these abide in the Supreme Self. All the multiplicity, this Upanishad describes, that people live their lives in different ways. When look at the world, there are human beings, animals, birds, fishes, and all creatures, they have their different realities to face. But one thing is common in all: at the time of deep sleep, there is only one and the same experience for all. That's the time you have touched the non-duality of the self. Vedanta becomes established on that ground. And therefore, in the project of enlightenment, this great truth has to enter your heart. I am all that exists. The truth that you realize by breaking the seal of ego. But even while you have not broken the seal, you start asserting, allow the mind to grab that type of insight. Just as every wave in the ocean is nothing but the ocean. Speaking allegorically, a wave has the possibility to move away from its ego aspect. I am a wave with so many wave relatives around me. From there, I am the ocean. Therefore, all the waves are in me. I am all the ways. Try to, with a clear mind, try to see difference. The I am in you that is completely cramped. Cramped by the body. Cramped by your circumstances. How are you going to be tomorrow? You don't know. Your I is depending upon so many things. Now, whisper into your mind. That I is not your reality. That I is the Dalvit wave that asserts I am. That I is not your reality. Then where am I? Your I is not enriched by any experience that you have in the physical plane. Your I is not enriched in any experience that you have in your sentiments, in the world of arts and in the world of wonderful feelings, imaginations. And your innermost I is not benefited by any type of knowledge your intellect may develop. The innermost I is the absolute, ever the same, Purnamadah, Purnamidam, absolutely full. But when we say that all this do not make any difference in the I am, it doesn't mean that now you should shake off all type of sadhana. Sadhana process is the practical reality to lead you to that revelation. Sadhana process is not leading you to something that was never there. It is leading you to something that was ever there, which you have been experiencing day by day. Mala vikshepa and avarana. Through sadhana process, first target is mala, gross impurities. And karma yoga is a powerful method. How to keep yourself busy, utilizing your energy, being creative, but in such a way that your karmic movement is based on be good, do good. As goodness of the heart becomes the target for your karma, that karma removes malas, gross impurities. Being free of gross impurity, again, whenever we talk of this, everything is progressive. Everything is in degrees. Being gripped by anger, that's gross impurity. If you practice sadhana, you may notice that you are gripped by anger, but not as often as you used to have before. And when anger comes, it doesn't stay as it did before. And it is not as intense as it was before. When you notice this, you are moving forward. An aspirant should not develop a sense of unnecessary regret or a sense of despair. I've been practicing so much sadhana, and suddenly I noticed how the anger was riding on my head. So, this removal of mala, removal of vikshepa. Vikshepa relates to vasana, subtle desires. Subtle desires are in your unconscious. A bigger effort is towards your unconscious. And that again, that creates a lot of trouble for aspirants. Because what goes on in your unconscious is not before you. So therefore, you start doing your sadhana and you find yourself you are not succeeding as you used to. Or your mind has wandered away and you find a subtle idea, a judgment, that all the sadhana I have done is waste. This type of judgment comes because you do not have the insight into the workings of the vasanas. Just like an ordinary businessman who doesn't have the insight into the workings of the bank and how money is well reserved and is growing, but your purse doesn't show it. There comes the role of faith. Sadhana must be done day by day with intense faith. you offer your prayers and you do your sadhana, but don't look back. I mean, doing, offering all this prayer, and people say prayer is so powerful. But how is it? Nothing happening. See, Kali Yuga prayer has lost its merit. Try to understand. Your prayer has already created a lot of changes in your unconscious. And need to develop that type of subtle trust. So there is movement in overcoming vikshepa, movement in changing your vasanas. The third stage of progress is avarana, ignorance. And that avarana refers to like a river entering into the ocean. Your individuality is completely demolished because it is not real. So the spiritual movement that is characterized by removing mala by karma yoga, removing vikshepa by meditation and devotion, removing avarana by tattva jnana, knowledge of the self. When you are moving in this fashion, the end result, liberation. And with this, I will conclude. Om Shanti Shanti.